making the most of every day and every experience.
Oh, I'm feeling great right now.
You're living the good life with Kate Zenna on iHub Radio.
How do you plan to actually achieve that?
Now, here's Kate.
Well, how do you achieve it? How do you achieve feeling great and living the good life when you're feeling really, really sad? Because something really sad has happened in your life. How do you do that? Well, today's show is all about that. Today's show, we're doing the work. Today's show, we're getting real. We're being honest. And if you're interested in sharing your story of feeling sad, not just in general, I'd love to keep it focused on the loss of a friend or the loss of a pet, even more specifically. If you follow us on Facebook or the show on Facebook or Instagram, you'll see that I'm in the grips of saying goodbye to my oldest dog, Echo, who was 16 and a half, and we let her go to the Angels on January 15th. And I haven't spoken about it since then because I can't really. I mean, I can still get choked up when I'm thinking about it now. But I needed to give myself at least a week and a half of trying to just let that all set in. And this week it's about sharing that story, the story of Echo, and sharing and hearing your stories of your beloved pets, whether or not you had your pet for a long time or a short time. And it's been a really complex couple of weeks in our home and in my heart, because it's a complex thing to traverse, this saying goodbye to a pet. And I felt like a lot of our shows, a lot of my these shows of The Good Life are, they really focus on all these, the good things that are happening and how can you eat well and what do you need to do for exercise? What's your morning routine and all of the stuff. And really, I'm interested in hearing about how you live your good life, because I sometimes have these times in my life when I'm sad because something sad has happened, or I'm feeling blue because of something else sad has happened or is challenging me. And really, I try to fortify myself with tools to keep myself from falling down into the hole of heartbreak and loss and not processing and getting back into the love zone. And so the last week and a half has been all about that. It's been, part of it has been allowing myself to feel sad, because we're surrounded so much on social media. We all always are checking in. Some people spend hours, 2 hours, 3 hours scrolling through, and you're seeing everybody looking so happy and so fantastic. And the truth is, all of us have moments, multiple moments in our day where we feel deep sadness. Sometimes we know what that's from and sometimes we don't. And then there are times in our life when we have to go through these passages like I'm going through right now, saying goodbye to Echo. And it's not an easy place to be in at all on your own. But it's also it's a funky place to be now that we are always sharing all the good stuff. So it took me about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, to post a big bunch of photos of Echo. And I took my time putting them together. And it was emotional, of course, because I'm going back through time. And I had to scan photos because Echo's been with me since 2002. So she preceded Facebook. She preceded the smartphone and digital pictures and selfies. She was an analog puppy like me. And it was a big, long, cathartic, I guess, it's a processing time. It's part of what you need to do. You can't just jump to the next thing and jump to the next selfie. I think that there's a danger in that, because deep down your cells, your soul, your heart has to process deep loss, and it takes time to do that. It's not, you can't digitize your handling of grief. So that's why we're going to talk about it the entire show. If anyone calls in or wants to call in, you go right ahead, 760-544-8255. And if you want to call and share about the loss of a human friend, of course you can do that, because that's also part of it. If we want to live the good life, part of life is accepting death. And it sucks. it sucks for us. It sucks that we're going to be gone, and it sucks that our very good friends are gone. And it's important to embrace that in some way. You don't have to do it every single day and just think, oh my God, this could be over tomorrow, which yes, it could be. But waiting until the last minute, which is what I did after my mother passed away in 2003, I was young. I had done no preparation. There was nothing in my life except my grandmother who passed away when I was 11. Nothing had happened to me that was preparing me for the inevitable, just gaping hole in my body is what it felt like when my mother passed away in 2003. So I really went down for the count for, I would say, 2004, 2005, 2000, at least for a few years. I was functional. No one would necessarily know except maybe my very, very closest friends that I was deeply, deeply just embedded in grief zone. I'll tell you, some people who would know that is my acting class colleagues and my teacher, Sandy Marshall, in Los Angeles during that time, actually about 2006, 7, 8. Was at that time. And every time I would go up on stage, you do this exercise in our acting class called, it's a Meisner acting technique. And you do this thing called repetition. And before we do repetition, where you're repeating what the other person says to you back and forth, and you're not judging it. It takes too long for me to explain the whole exercise. You can read about repetition, the Meisner technique, if you're an actor out there or a young actor. So Sandy, she would call us up. She'd say, Kate, you get up here. You're going to do the exercise next. And she'd call us up and I would stand on stage every week, every Tuesday for a year, however long I was in that class, a long time. And I would dread it because every single week I would get up on that stage. She'd say, Kate, how are you feeling? And I'd look at her and I'd look at the class, even though it was all dark and it was in the theater. And I'd look around and all I would want is to be happy, like all the other sprightly young actors in there who were just, I'm feeling great. I feel great. They either booked a job or they did. I feel amazing. Yeah, I'm nervous, but I'm great. I feel great. And they were genuinely great. They weren't faking it, because this exercise gets right to your heart. You cannot lie. It's the mothership of fantastic, honest, truthful acting exercises. And I just stood there and I constantly, every single week, I'm sad. And I would just fall to pieces in front of everybody every single week. And that was my truth, my deep down, I was paying for this class to work on my acting skills and just be a really, you know, honest, truthful actor in the moment. So there's the only person that I'm cheating if I lie and say, I feel good. I'll work with Gil. Can I work with Gil? Or David, I'll work with David. No, I would just sob because that was my truth. Now, here's what happens in that acting class. I would then call up someone to work opposite me. And when they would come up, I would say, oh, and they would repeat, oh, and then I would say, such a gorgeous face. A lot of these people were gorgeous actor people. So that would be my first thought, which you're not supposed to censor, is gorgeous face or whatever it was. They'd say gorgeous face. And they might be pissed off that I said that because they're sick of people thinking that's all they are is a pretty face. Or I might say, I love you. And they might say back, you love me. And I might say back, I love you. And then things change. And the point that I'm making here is that even though my inner deepest, deepest being was just so sad, I was still able to connect in the moment. If I was honest and I was connecting in the moment across from that person, and I was connecting with that person, that other actor in front of me, and all I was doing was just being present with them and saying, it's so nice to be in front of you. If that was what came through, then that's what I would say. My point is that I wasn't crying through the whole thing. So you can have really, really deeply sad feelings. It's like different rivers that you can have flowing through you. But at the same time, within 2 seconds, you can also have deep, deep joy. And if we're able to allow both the deep sadness that we've got to not have to fight against the deep happiness we might have in the next moment. I think that is a really good reminder. So I'm here reminding myself of that, because in the last 2 weeks, I've had wonderfully life-filled, joyful moments. But then I've had many moments of deep, deep sorrow and different kinds of deep sorrow over missing Echo and saying goodbye to her and the whole process, which I will share with you and we'll talk about. So that's my little intro for you. And I think it's a big deal. I think it's important in this day and age that we are okay with a moment of feeling sad, and then we're also okay with feeling okay. And we're also okay with feeling, wow, even more than okay. And we are a mixture of all of those things. Is that okay with you? I think it's okay. Well, we're going to have a little memento away to just have a namaste moment. If you're just tuning in, this is The Good Life. I'm Kate Zenna, and we are talking about grief and loss and all things that make up life, the good stuff and the hard stuff.
Sometimes a conversation can be life-changing.
I want to find out how you feel about that.
This is The Good Life.
I'll have what she's having.
With Kate Zenna on iHub Radio.
All right, you guys. My goodness, are you still with me? Oh, it hurts. It hurts deep inside. I've got Kleenex next to me because I'm about to cry. I've got a friend who just called in, another person I know here in the Valley, and I'm hoping she'll call back. There she is. Her name is Victory, and after I posted my notice about Echo, I think it just happened at the same time. Victory also said goodbye to her sweet 17-year-old dog Dulcie, and so today I invited her to be on the show and just share her story, because it's just hard and it's complex. And are you there, Victory?
I am. Thank you, Kate.
I just send you the biggest hug, and I just hearing your voice, it makes me want to cry. And well, no. It doesn't make me want to cry. It makes me cry.
I know. I wish the wave would kind of stop a bit, because it comes so fast and unexpectedly, and everyone says not to try to, you know, hold it in, and I guess that's probably really good advice, but there's just so much love that is coming forth too. It's amazing how many people understand what this loss is like, and including my dear Kate, so
yeah,
I appreciate being able to share and understand how others feel too. So,
well, I'll tell you, until this happened, I knew it was going to happen at some point. I'm sure you must have known that with Dulcie. She was 17 when she said goodbye.
Yes, she was 17, and it was just the last, just a week ago today, and she let us know the last day that this was the time, which I guess was a blessing too, because we didn't have any questions about what we needed to do, but it certainly is a void in our life. I have a strong faith, and I believe our beautiful little furry friends are going to be in a better place, just as I do others in that faith. But I've lost a husband in Vietnam. He was a Marine helicopter pilot, and we were only married 5 weeks, and I've lost daughters and son and grandchildren.
Wow.
And Richard and I have been widowed and lost children and grandchildren. And Dulcie was just kind of our everything. We've been married 25 years, and 17 years was with her, and she came to live with us when my parents lived with us, and she was never left alone.
Wow.
So it's just a void that I knew would be there, but a little harder than I thought it would be. And but I want to be a comfort to other people, because I know that meant a lot to me, to know that people have reached out like you, who have been through it too. We will get past it. You know, everyone told me that when Bud died, they said that time really makes a difference. And that's what I'm going to trust here too.
What did they say makes a difference?
Time.
Time.
You know, let time, let the days and the, you know, as the days and the months and the years go by, you never forget every beautiful moment you had with people you love. But it was a short time. We only dated 2 years and married only 5 weeks when he was sent to Vietnam. And that was so sudden. And with Dulcie, it was 17 years of pure love and constant companionship. So I think maybe that's why it's feels like it does. You know?
Yeah, I also think that because dogs are everyone's different, and what I believe is that when we have a love connection that's a deep love connection, I think it's at the max. I think for that other soul, whether it's a human soul or an animal soul, the love connection, mm-hmm. that the conduit, the sharing of trust and intimacy that we have with that other being is at its mm-hmm. max for that being. So when that being goes, if they go before us, we are left with this, we are just as gutted by a year together with that being or 17 right. years. And it's because it's unique to that being, that connector, that wire is mm-hmm. unique to that person, that channel, whatever you want to mm-hmm. call it. So how we can't then gain access to that conduit, that transference of love, because it was specific and unique to that person, and without that person we don't have it. So we have to I really feel that that's what it is. When I think back to why I can get so sad and so quickly about the loss of my mother, she's been gone for since 2003, so it's almost 16 mm-hmm. years, which is just crazy. It's just mind-blowing, because Echo came mm-hmm. the year before my mom. But it's all that time that I had with her, but I think it's even more, it's about the quality and the kind of dynamic, the relationship that she and I shared, like you and Dulcie mm-hmm. shared. And then there's mm-hmm. you and Richard and Dulcie. And so in our life, and recently it's David and me and Echo, and she was in love with my husband. I mean, she really,
I know
he had another wife. It was, she's not as interested in me as she loved boys. But regardless, we have these connections that once it's gone, we can't access. It feels like we can't access that specific part of our heart that they particularly plugged into. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. It does. And, you know, it amazes me, too, how in God's sovereignty, he lines us up with people who have a similar journey. Mm-hmm. And just like you expressed with your mom, that my mom lived with us for 12 years. And we had that Dulcie when she could fit into the palm of all of our hands and receive not just our love, but my mom and Grant's love too. And so it's very, very true that there's something about the parallels and lives that connect, that help us get through by holding each other's hearts and hands. And I really want to thank you for that, because that way you don't feel quite so alone in the grieving process. But I did have, I know, Kate, you've been so precious to allow me to share my passion for art and why we started the Old Town Artisan Studio. And my neighbor yesterday reminded me, she said, Victory, I think you're forgetting that you started your mission for art when you lost your mom. And you found somebody handed you a piece of clay and you became immersed in this moment of creativity, and it helped you take your mind off of things and put your mind on something new and creative and exciting. And that is why I started what we started, because there was no place to do this kind of art. I was at my friend's garage. He had a little home studio, and that's how it all started. So we started something where anybody and everybody can go in there and be healed and find therapy and find something to fill that void, and art did that for me.
Well, your creation or your birthing of Old Town Artisan Studios, I'm going to talk about that a little later in the show. I'll give people all the information, because what you've created there is exactly, it's just love. It's pure creativity, mm-hmm. pure creative love. And I wish that you could stick around for stay a little bit longer, but I know you've got to go. I'll make sure that on our Facebook page I connect people with Old Town Artisan Studios, and you can feel free to also comment on the latest post that we put up so that people can connect and find you. Yeah. So I wish you just a lovely day, lots of deep breaths. And lots of love, and we'll speak with you again soon. And if you're just tuning in, don't go away. We've got more mm-hmm. about loss and grief and pets and life and love here on The Good Life on iHub Radio.
Inspiration and support for you.
Let's fill our heads with knowledge.
To live the good life.
You have everything.
Here's Kate Zenna.
Yeah, I want all of that.
On iHub Radio.
Well, if you want all of that, you've got to be honest, and you've got to get real, and you've got to learn how to handle the blows, those slaps of across the heart, and also take the fun and the joy and be able to enjoy them, even though you know that around the corner at any moment something could come and just completely crush your heart, because that is life. That's part of the deal. So learning how to live the good life, in my opinion, especially, I'm a very emotional person. I feel things. Some people say that it's called being an empath. I'm sensitive. I'm just honest with the fact that I feel this pain right now around the loss of Echo, and I want to still be able to enjoy a wonderful get together with friends or a wonderful lunch or something. But I've still got this thing going on in me, and it's going to take however long it's going to take to process. And when I say process grief, you're processing the loss of a dog. It's a procession of feelings, and things shift and change. And if you can sit there, that's why meditation is such a massively important skill, tool, strategy for success. Meditation over years, over a long period of time, what begins to happen is that you then become far more naturally able. It's your more natural instinct. You're able to sit and have an emotion, but you don't become blended with that emotion. You're able to be the observer upon your own life. It's this thing that happens. It's not what I expected was going to result from when my beginning of learning to meditate back in 2007 when I learned. But over time, that started to shift. That was a process, my deepening within meditation. And that has really been a massive help for me. If I had had that going through the loss of my mother, I think it would have helped a lot. It doesn't mean it's going to hurt less. It means that you're able to somehow, okay, whew, I had that moment for an hour. I cried, and it was really deep, and it was a very intense feeling of loss and heartbreak and confusion. And okay, I can go and handle this next situation where those tears are not really appropriate to that situation. That said, I do consider myself to be a professional crier, not because I get paid to do it on camera sometimes, but because if I'm out at dinner and if I'm in private company, if I'm with my husband or with close friends, and something comes up in me in a conversation, I'm chatting about something and tears come, I just let them come. I don't try to, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be crying. I just let them come. They're just tears, and then they'll stop. And sometimes I even say, hang on, I've got, the tear ship is coming. Hold on, let me just see if the tear ship would care to pass my vision and not stop in the port of Kate and dump a bunch of tears right now. And I just kind of take a few deep breaths And sometimes it can pass. If I don't feel like falling into a heap of tears at a table out in public. And then sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it stops, it parks itself, and that's it. It's a teary lunch, and who cares? It doesn't matter. It's better that it gets out, as far as I'm concerned. But all of this to say that this is a process, just like processing joy and our interaction with the good stuff in life. It's important. In order to have good stuff, you've got to be able to manage your dealings with the tough stuff and hurts and disappointments and things like that. It's not bad to feel sad. It's okay. And I feel like in this day and age, with all of the social media that I was speaking about in the beginning of the show, there's just this shame almost in not being able to bounce back and feel positive. It's all about positivity. Well, I can feel positively sad right now. So that brings me to, because I've been in this position where somebody has posted on Facebook, or they've let people know that they're in the midst of suffering a loss, a great loss for them. And before Echo passed away, recently, in October, I said goodbye to a dog who I rescued from the streets of Los Angeles, streets of Hollywood, and placed her with a really good friend of mine named Jess. And Sadie and Jess lived a beautiful, connected, wonderfully healing 4 years together for the two of them. When I found Sadie, she was, had just been hit by a car, and she was already a senior dog, and she was about 40 pounds, so she was a larger dog. But Jess took care of that dog and loved her. The two of them were just like a little married couple. It was beautiful. So it was really, really crushing to see, have to say goodbye to Sadie and watch Jess have to handle heartbreak, that level of heartbreak for the first time. I mean, they were really, really deeply connected. She was his only pet. And then a few months later, here I am in the same situation with Echo. And I know other friends of mine have posted the losses of their pets, and they've just said, I've got to go off Facebook for a while, and they've got to go process, because it's hard. It's really hard. And sometimes I don't know what to say when people post about their loss, whether it's a person or an animal. And now that I'm in that place where I have posted, and I didn't post to get attention. I posted out of my own need to express. And because Facebook now is this place where we express, and how we interact with Facebook is our own personal thing. I'm not a big, big Facebook person. I don't post all the time. And it's an important thing. If I'm going to share something with my community of friends who are, for the most part on my Facebook, people who I actually know, I keep it to people I actually know. I share things that are important to me. And so Echo is of course very important to me. So I took time to put a posting up. And so many people are continuing to comment and send love and hugs. People who I don't have a close personal relationship at all, maybe just acquaintances. And having them come forward, I think it helps them to be reminded that they are not alone if they've also experienced this prior to now. And it lets me know, oh, thanks. It does, even if you say, I'm so sorry for your loss, that's fine. That's enough. If you send a longer message, if you just say, I'm sending you hugs, there are no words. That's what I would always say to people, because I don't have words. I don't know what to say. All I know is my experience with loss of my mother. And thankfully, only one person that significant in my life, other than my grandmother when I was 11, who was extremely significant. I've been very, very blessed with not having to deal with that. And when I say there are no words, I still haven't come up with the words. So now I think I'm going to get better at using words, because there are some people who are experienced in this arena, and they've sent wonderful messages to me that are so comforting and so healing. So if you are experiencing this, or you're prepping to experience it, because if you've got a pet who's either not well or is senior, you know it's coming. So I always say, don't bother worrying about what it's going to be like when it happens. because it's a million times worse when it happens than what you even could anticipate it being. So don't even bother. Just enjoy the time. Soak it all up. Treat your puppies and your pussycats and your bunnies and your chickens and your roosters, whoever, your horses. Just treat them with extra special love anytime you can be present enough to do so. Because this too, my friends, shall pass. My life shall pass. Your life shall pass. These moments are passing. This hour is passing very quickly. This too shall pass. If you're just tuning in, this is The Good Life. I'm Kate Zenna, and we're having a conversation here on iHub Radio that's a toughie, but a goodie, and an important one, about saying goodbye to your friends, your puppy friends, your four-legged friends, your pussycat friends, your fishy friends, whoever means a lot to you, and processing. Just, there's not really an end in sight to how you process grief. It's not like I don't miss my mother every single hour. It's been 15 years, almost 16. It's not going to go away. Echo, my 16 and a half year old border terrier, I want to share with you in a couple of minutes, or in the last segment, I'll share with you the how we came to the decision to say goodbye, because that was part of the trauma too. And when I'm sharing that, I'll get more details, and I'll share with you that the wonderful vet that we found who came to our house and helped us say goodbye to Echo in a beautiful, peaceful way. Your grief around the loss of your pet, I just want to say this, is as valid, is as big, is as heartbreaking as my grief over Echo. And I say, what I mean by that is, it's not a grief or loss competition. If you lose someone or something that's significant, extremely significant to you, that's to the max in terms of your loss of that. So sometimes people say, well, at least you've got all those other dogs. When it happened to me, I came home. I was alone. I only had the one. We have the one dog. And I know how that feels now to hear. You can't help someone just get over the loss of their pet or the loss of someone. All you can really do is sit and listen. There's no at least. There's no, well, look on the bright side. She's not in having pain anymore. There's just, I feel you. It sucks. And you are a great doggy mama. I mean, really, those are the best words, really. Because even though I do have a house full of mutts at home, full is an understatement, Echo held a very special place in my heart, just as each of the other ones do. I connect with her in a special, her own unique way. So the loss of her, it's a gaping hole, because it was her hole in my heart, her space in my heart. So just if you can keep that in mind too, when if people do say things like that to you, they're not trying to hurt you or make you feel like you're less significant. Your loss is less significant than their loss. And watch out in your life where you might do that, where you might think, well, it's a good thing she's got a husband. I don't have a husband. I couldn't deal with that. Or it's okay. She's got more dogs. She'll be fine. She's got other kids. It's a good thing she doesn't have Alzheimer's, or she doesn't have diabetes. She's all good. Whatever those things are that other people might try to diminish your loss. And of course, we might do that to other people inadvertently. So I just want to help you to have a bit of awareness around that. We're going to come back in the last segment. I'll share with you what the process was like, because this is something, if you've got a senior pet, you might want to kind of, okay, what do I got to do? Who do I call? What's going to happen so that when the time comes, I'm prepared? This is The Good Life. We're talking about grief, but it's okay, because it's all part of The Good Life.
iHub Radio, reinventing talk radio in the Coachella Valley.
I suppose that's a discussion we could have.
Setting your mind on the good life.
How do you plan to actually achieve that?
Now, here's Kate.
What is the good life? What about the good life for your pet? What is living the good life for your pet, if you can get into their heads? That's where I was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks and 2 days ago. I was watching Netflix, the new Tidy Up show that Marie Kondo has on Netflix, and it's all about letting go, really. And I suddenly burst into tears. I was sitting in the living room watching Marie Kondo, and one of the people on the show that episode was a woman who'd lost her husband a year before. And she was going through her home, and she really wanted to clear out all of his clothes and lots of the clutter and lots of stuff in the house. It was a very emotional process for her, of course. And strangely, I was shocked that I burst into tears. And I thought, what is going on? Because I knew that it wasn't from sadness around my mother dying 16 years ago, because I know the difference. I can tell what kind of tears those are. I was sitting squished next to me was Echo, my 16 and a half year old border terrier. And she was squished next to me because she was now blind and pretty blind. I mean, she could probably see 70%. You could kind of wave and she could kind of see hazy things. And she could not hear, but she could bark and she could whimper and she could whine constantly, which is what she's been doing for the last about 6 months. I'd had her checked out. She's physically fine, robust, strong as an ox, but her mind had completely gone. So that night when I was watching the Netflix Marie Kondo Tidying Up show, Echo squished next to me, and I squished next to me in the armchair because I wanted her to know that I'm there. There's somebody there, because she was constantly getting lost. If you put her down, and she might just have to pee. And now she was just at the point where I feel like I could get to this point where I'm just going to pee and poo and just say, someone will clean it up, which somebody always did. I never got mad at her because she was old and she would have gone outside if she could have, but she just forgot about going to a door and going outside. And it wasn't that she was incontinent. She just said, fuck it. I'm just going to pee here. And so I was squished. She was squished next to me just to give her some comfort. But even that wasn't comforting her. She was still sitting there smacking her lips like she'd been doing for many years. It was a border terrier thing, I guess, in her older age. But she was whimpering all the time. She was not in pain. Totally checked physically. Everything was good. It was mental stuff, and I'd looked up dementia, canine dementia, and what all the symptoms are, and how hard it is for the owners and also for the pets, because there's nothing. There's one medication, but she wasn't strong enough, apparently, that the vet didn't want to give her the medication because her kidneys weren't well enough, and they said, you should have her go and see a neurologist. I said, a neurologist? She's 16 and a half. Come on. Don't send me around from one thing to another. She's 16 and a half. Let this lady have some peace. She's old and she's been amazing. So I realized that these tears that came flooding through while I was watching a show about letting go were because I needed to let go. That makes me sad just saying those words. It was time for me to let go of Echo. Because I'd been saying to my husband for the last month or two, I said, it's not today. She could last another 6 months because she was so robust physically. But we could see that her mind was going, and she'd stand in front of the door and bark at an open door to go outside. And then I'd have to push her and she'd see it. She'd get closer to the door and she'd go out. And then when there's no fun for her. There was no joy. She couldn't recognize us. She wasn't cognizant of things anymore. And so there was no play. There was no frolicking. There was no, didn't enjoy walking. The only reprieve she had from that, the thing that she did enjoy, was sleeping. And that would be after she would be tuckered out enough from barking. And then finally she'd fall asleep. And it was very sad, very hard to watch. And so we made that decision on that day, a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks ago. And I said, well, I'm not ready yet. We'll watch. And I started to do research in Coachella Valley to find how we would do this. I said, well, I'm not letting her go to she's not going to the vet. I'm not going to have this done at the vet's office. Forget that. It's a horrible experience and environment and noisy and the smells and it's just too traumatic for them and for us as well. So that was off the table, because nowadays you can find someone to come to your home and lovingly administer the euthanasia drugs. So I did research to find the cremation place because I was going to have her cremated. These are all things. I was just bawling as I'm doing this, trying to find, well, I want to know that it's her that I get back. Because when you go to the vet, which I did with my 17-year-old dog when I was in, from my childhood, you leave the dog there. And who knows whose ashes you get? Who even knew that there was an option to have a private cremation, so it's just Echo being cremated, or it's a bunch of other animals and you're getting a portion of other animals, I guess for a bit less money. It's crazy. So I found a really great the pet cremation center here in Palm Springs, and a woman named Carrie was just wonderful. Well, I found a vet who came to the house. I did research to find who that was. I couldn't find one online that seemed to really jump out, but Carrie's new one, Carrie, who runs her the pet cremation center. And she put me in touch with a wonderful homeopathic vet named Dr. Paula Terrify, which is a crazy name for a vet to have. She doesn't spell it that way. It's spelled T-E-R-I-F-A-J. And don't worry, I looked her up and I Googled and I Yelped the whole thing to make sure that Dr. Terrify was anything but terrifying to animals. And she was just the gentlest and most incredible and most well-respected vet who's now out here in Coachella Valley. So I called her and I'm bawling my eyes out on the phone. And she said, well, I can come and do an assessment of her on the 15th of January, like that on that Tuesday. I can come today, was the 15th when I called her, and do an assessment. You don't have to commit to anything, but I'll take a look at her and I'll give you my opinion. And of course, I'm going to take her opinion into account. So she came and she saw Echo and we went through. This is what she asked me that I think is really important for anyone out there who's maybe nearing this situation. She asked me what, this makes me very emotional. She asked me what Echo's three favorite things were. And I almost forgot what they were because it's been so long since she's done them. She loves sleeping. She loves to eat. But she loves to go for walks and play and to meet people. And she still loves sleeping, but it was hard for her to find respite from her agitation. She's constantly agitated. And she still enjoyed, she would still eat, but she wasn't eating like she was before. She just was starting to lose even the vigor that she normally had there. And the fact that she spent her days just standing still, looking for someone, or sleeping, and not going for walks, not interacting with the other dogs, I thought, this just sucks for Echo. So Dr. Paula agreed, and we were just in heaps of sobs. I've never seen my husband that upset, and it was just an expression of all the love we had for this little creature, and appreciation for all the love she had for us. Ooh, that's okay. They're just tears. The tearship has come. So it made us feel a lot better to know that we were saying goodbye and letting Echo go, because her favorite things, she just wasn't able to do them anymore. And isn't that what she would do for us if she could? Ah, the processing of loss. The processing of loss of a pet. There's so many more things to talk about. If anyone needs to express or share, you can email me directly at kate.zenna@ihubradio.com. And you can Facebook message us on the Good Life iHub on Facebook. Okay, guys, have an amazing week. Live your best life this week. Go for joy. Cry when you need to. And call a friend when you also need to. Have a great, great week.